Praise the Lord. When he called my name, I ran out of that grave. How many have had that experience? Wave at us this morning. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to pray and get started. We are so thankful to have Stephanie here this morning to share her testimony. So thankful for all of you that have come and all of those that support her. Thank you. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for the amazing power that's in the name of Jesus and for the work that you've done in each one of our hearts and especially in Stephanie's. Lord, we just thank you today that as she shares, you give her peace and you help her to share, Lord God, what you have placed in her spirit. So, Lord, we just commit this time to you and we thank you, Lord, that you will edify, encourage, and exhort each person that is here today to draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture says in Colossians 1:13, for he, and that he is God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God loved us so much and has so much grace towards us that he did not leave us in the condition that we were born in, because we were all born in sin. We were all born in darkness. We all have that sinful nature that needed to be redeemed. And the Lord actually paid the price on the cross for us. And he snatched us out of the hands of the enemy to bring us into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And we all know this verse so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so this morning I just want you to open up your hearts as Stephanie shares. And if you'll put up the next slide, we have some questions that we're going to go through. I've been working with Stephanie for about a year and a half, and so she has shared so much with me, and it's difficult to break it all down just for one presentation, but these are the questions that she's going to answer this morning. So would you test your microphone?
Test.
Okay. Stephanie has a quiet voice, so listen up. And you may need to adjust her back there. But we're going to get started this morning with our first question. So, Stephanie, what was your experience with religion as a child?
So we weren't raised with any religion, and we didn't go to church. But my father, he passed away when I was 7 years old. And right before he died, he came to God. And he started to talk to me about God, and he gave me a Bible, and that was how I came to faith in God. But he died shortly after, so after that, we never went to church or anything. But I always just had that faith. Yeah.
Okay, the next question. How did that affect you in your teenage years?
I kind of started having like spiritual warfare, I guess. I didn't realize it was that at the time, but and I was just like sensitive to spiritual things, and so I started trying to seek answers for it. So I got into I started looking into like Wicca and witchcraft and astrology and tarot and things like that, even before high school. And in high school, I started to drink and party to distract myself, I guess, from the kind of things that I experienced. Yeah.
A lot of fear and insomnia?
Yeah.
And how did that affect your life, Stephanie?
Since my family wasn't religious, they didn't really know. Like, I don't even know if they really believed me, but I would just have these scary dreams, and I would just have these spiritual experiences where I could tell that there was a spiritual realm, and I just didn't really know how to get answers. And so that kind of led to me joining the occult in my 20s.
So did you finish high school?
No, I dropped out of high school, and I was making all bad choices, and I moved out when I was 18, wasted my inheritance in a year, and at 19, I became pregnant, and my son gave me the reason to want to change my life. So I started to do that, but I didn't really have a lot of support at the time because my bad choices kind of ruined stuff with my family. And that's what kind of pushed me into the group that I joined. It was kind of like a women's support or self-help group, and I didn't realize right away that it was a cult. And so I just started going deeper and deeper into everything that I was already doing.
So it was a group of women that were mentoring you in the occult.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There was a lot of fear. People were afraid to leave because there was like this intimidation that if you left, something bad would happen to you, and that you would have like a whole group of like people like doing witchcraft or something against you. And so I just stayed, even though I kind of realized something was off about it. And that was when I was 28, I had a near-death experience, and that's when Jesus appeared to me.
Okay.
And so.
So you're ready to go into question four? What happened?
Yes.
In your life, when Jesus appeared to you, what was happening?
Well, I was in an abusive relationship, and I was trying to escape that, so that was another reason I joined the cult. But basically, all the stuff that they were teaching in that cult, I was I really believed it, and I was really living it out. So people that knew me at that time know that. I don't know, they just knew who I was. I was just getting worse and worse, basically.
So it says you had just escaped an abusive relationship and you didn't realize that you were in a cult.
Yes.
Do you want to go on from there?
I'm not sure.
About Braxton being diagnosed?
He was diagnosed with autism when he was 3, and that was really stressful for me too. I don't know how that goes with the story, but...
Okay. And you were living in the worst apartment.
Yeah, my life was just pretty much a wreck, and I didn't realize that it was because I didn't have God, because since I believed in God, I just thought that I was fine. Like, I was seeking him in all the wrong ways, but I didn't really know, like, the God of the Bible, so I didn't realize that. And now since I've come to know him, like, he's healed my family, he's restored, like, every area of our lives, and I realize now that all these things that were happening to me were just, like, he was just actually using it for good to draw me to him. So
at the same time you were living in the worst apartment, you couldn't keep a job because of the child care. Was that because
he was on the spectrum and he needed a lot of help and stuff like that. So but then a Christian woman reached out to me and offered me a job at a preschool, and that helped me to get him into an ABA center, and he got a lot of help with his autism, and she also offered me a house, and so I was kind of being shepherded by her and the other Christians that worked there, even though I didn't realize it at the time. And so in the same way, I can see that God was still taking care of us through the whole thing.
And at the same time, you were going deeper and deeper into things in the occult. And you had shared with me that you were asking yourself, what is the purpose of life?
Yeah, well... I just noticed that, like, I didn't have any ultimate answers or, like, any truth about anything, and I was just searching and searching and searching for, like, you know, purpose, and everything was just, like, emptiness. So I started to wonder what I wanted to do with my life, so I was basically just, I left my job, and I went and I started reading, like, self-help books by, like, you know, the New Age gurus, and, like, doing all these different kinds of things, like, trying to find, like, a purpose, and I don't know, that was when I woke up one morning. I was accidentally overdosing, because I had drank too much and had mixed prescriptions with it. And something just snapped inside of me where I knew that I needed God, and I knew that I didn't know God at that point. And I just realized that everything I had been doing in my life was just, like, meaningless, and I just felt like, what was gonna happen to me when I die? Like, you know, what have I even used my life for? And, you know, I just prayed to God, and I said, God, please, you know, save me. Don't let me die. I don't want what happened to me with my father to happen to my sons. And I just prayed, you know, like if you let me live, like, I will live for you. And after a few hours of just praying nonstop, that was when Jesus appeared to me. And that was when I realized he was the thing that I was searching for the whole time, that was searching for me too.
So let's talk about the highlights of that experience. I know when you've talked about that and we've prayed about that, you really felt like you were dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were in a desperate place.
Yeah. I somehow, like, I just knew I needed protection, and that God was the only one that could protect me. And so I was too, like, disoriented to read my Bible. I went and found that Bible that my dad had gave me when I was a child, and but I couldn't really read it, so I just tried to look for, like Bible verses for protection, like, on my phone or something. I was just listening to it, and it was the only thing that was calming me down and helping me to just be at peace. And so I was just, like, holding on to these words for dear life, and it was someone was reading the Psalm 91. And when that psalm came on, there was something that happened where I took, like, my last breath, and, like, all my strength was gone from me. And someone appeared behind me, and the whole atmosphere changed, and I was in, I don't want to say another realm, but it was just something completely different. And so that was what started the whole thing.
Yeah, and just a point that I did want to share, because you kind of went over it quickly, but she said for hours she laid and was unable to move, and it took all of her strength just to breathe. And during that time, she knew that she had been running from things in her life that she could no longer avoid. And that is, she began to pray and desperately cry out to the Lord. And so let's go on with, let's talk more about the highlights with your God experience, okay?
Okay. So basically, there was a part on the psalm that said, he will hide you under the shadow of his wings. And when that part was spoken, he instantly appeared, and he appeared so quick that it was like he was in the future, like he was ahead of time, like he was before me, and he was already there. And then, like, my eyes were just being opened, and I was just seeing him. And he had, like, long white wings that were going straight out, like, and he was in the shape of a cross, and I was under one of his wings, and my son was under the other one. And I could see him behind me, like, out of the corner of my eye, and he was wearing a white garment, and he was really, really tall, like not human tall, but, and he had a gold band around his waist that was like made of literal solid gold, and it had no beginning or end. It was just like on there somehow, and I knew that he was like good, like I could feel peace, and he was smiling on me, and he was looking at me, and I felt safe, and I watched him. He put a crown on my son's head, and he put a crown on my head, and I took it off, and I looked at it, and it was this solid gold crown that had three gems in it, and it was red and green and blue, and they were like so sharp, like they grew out of the gold, and I thought that I had gone crazy or was imagining it, but it was so real, and I could tell when I was looking at it that he was showing me that he knew everything that I had ever been through in my life, and that he was actually using all the worst things to use it for good, to make something good out of it. And I thought, who is this that has known me my whole life? And I turned around, and I look up at him, and I seen Jesus. And he was lit up like a lamp, and he was just this warm, glowing light, and he was smiling at me. And the only thing I knew about Jesus was that he had died and people were mean to him. I didn't really know like the whole story that he like claimed to be the Son of God and stuff. So I just thought, like, isn't this a guy that people were mean to him and killed him because he loved God, you know? And when I thought that in my mind, he knew my thoughts. And like a vapor of smoke that was in like a crown of thorns like appeared above his head, and it wasn't touching his head. It just like floated above, and then it just like disappeared and was gone. But he was still the same, and I realized he's living and he's alive. And I realized he was so perfect and innocent, and I wasn't. And I thought, why is he looking at me like that? You know, like he's done nothing wrong, and I'm like the worst, you know. And he knew my thoughts, and I heard him say a new name, and I like tore my eyes away from him because I completely forgot about everything else outside of just looking at him. And I looked at this crown, and it said life with like uppercase L, like it was a name. And I was like, that's not a name, that's a word, because I didn't know what that meant, because I had never read the Bible yet. But and it was with the colors of it was like the colors of a pearl, like a pastel rainbow. And it was like a reflection of him, like the gold was like a mirror, and the light from him was shining on it. And when I was turning it in my hand, the word appeared as if it was like it was him, like the word was him. And so, pause. That's the first part. Did I say too much?
No, that's good. That's beautiful. It's very passionate. Tremendous experience.
So after that, he snatched me up in his hand, and he was holding me in one arm, and I don't know how that's possible, but it was happening like spiritually. But and he turned his face towards me, and he turned his face like in slow motion, and I was looking up at him up close, and I was like actually shocked at how beautiful he was. And I realized, I recognized him, like my spirit recognized his spirit, and I realized that I came from him, and that like he was like the source of like all creation, that we all came from him. And I like realized that he was God, because I could like see the Father like in him, like I don't know how to explain it. But and he just turned his face towards me smiling, and his just held me, and there was just this flood of like love and just perfect peace, like just like flooding into my whole body. And I forgot about everything else outside of that. And I don't know how long it went on for, but it was like we were like outside of time and stuff like that. And then after a moment, I was unsettled like in my spirit, because I realized I was at peace, but my kids didn't know him, like my kids didn't know about him. And so I asked him, well, like, what about, you know, my children? They don't know. Like, now I know. And he put me down. Like, he put me down on my feet, and his arms were reached out and opened towards me. And he was smiling at me like he knew stuff that I didn't know, that was like good stuff. And he had this look of like, should I tell you or not, you know? And he was just kind of mysterious, but I trusted him somehow. And basically he said to me, you will not leave them. So he was saying like that he was sending me, like his arms were out, like he was sending me to go tell them like about the experience I had. And he took me by the right hand and walked with me. He went and sat at my table, and he was preparing something. And I just stood there because I was like dumbfounded because of how beautiful like it was when he was moving, like to watch him walk and move. And I thought, am I dead? Because I'm seeing Jesus. And he looked at me, he knew my thoughts, and he said no. And I was like, oh, okay. And I hurried up and sat down across from him. And so I was sitting across from him face to face, and I could see that his face was like so holy and just, and like both sides of his face were like symmetrical, and he was just like pure and innocent. And I started to feel in the same way that I knew that he knew everything about me and loved me and accepted me and was always there and was using it for good. Now I could see that he also knew all my sin, and everything was like coming out onto the table. And it was like I was being convicted for the first time that I was a sinner and I was helpless without him. And there was this cup on the table that was shaped like it was a wine glass, and it was but it was like a foot tall, and the top was like the size of a bowl, and it was filled with I thought it was like red wine because I was like an alcoholic at the time, but I don't know if it was like blood, like the cup of the blood of the covenant. But and there was this fire that was hovering above it, and it was like this perfect, neat, organized fire that like how a fire looks in an electric fireplace. And I realized that he was looking right through everything. Like he knew everything that I was needing to repent for. And I was just so ashamed and uncomfortable because of the life I had been living. And his hand was up the whole time. And when I was looking at him through this fire, I was trying to hold eye contact with him. And after a moment, when it became unbearable for me, his face changed to compassion and mercy and concern, and he removed his hand and he said no more, and the cup disappeared. And I just somehow knew that it was over, and like I was forgiven and it was fine and it was gone, and now I like that's not between us anymore. And he pulled out this little wicker basket. It was a square, like light colored wicker basket with a white like handkerchief or napkin, and he unfolded the four corners of it, and he pulled out a piece of bread, and he paused and he looked at it and he broke it, and it broke into two perfect pieces, and he looked up at me and handed it to me. And somehow, even though I didn't know what any of it meant at the time, I just knew that I wanted my son to have it. So at the seat next to me where my son would sit, from top to bottom, I started to tear down this bread like as quick as I could. And I just had like the skinny middle part, and Jesus had his half, his big half, and I had the skinny middle part, and then my son had the other big half. And I just felt this peace, like I had done everything that he wanted me to do, and I had told my son about him and stuff like that. And then my conscience started to wake up, and I realized who he was. Like I was starting to realize it more, and I realized, like, you know, if I'm talking to Jesus, I have like a million questions and stuff. And he, before I even asked a question, he knew what I was gonna say, and he took hold of both my hands, and he held my hands, and three times he said to me, "Hold on to me." And then I woke up. And I found that Bible that my father had given me, and I opened it, and I realized that everything that was written in there was completely true, because I had seen it, and I wouldn't have never probably believed any of that if I didn't have that experience. So.
And it's been amazing to watch Stephanie and work with Stephanie of the depth of love she has for God in His Word. She studies and studies and studies. And I know she does, because when I meet with her, I know when people have studied and when they haven't. And she comes in with an understanding that God has done just a Godspeed work in her life to bring her up to date, because she has sought Him. When you seek Him, you'll find Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And she loves God. And she found that Bible that her dad had given her. And did you hear her say? She didn't know anything about the Bible. She had no understanding whatsoever. So when all of this happened to her, as we met each week, she just began to process through what happened to her. But it was such a deep, deep experience with the Lord God Almighty. And she said she stopped drinking almost instantly. So why don't you go on from there, Stephanie, and talk a little bit about what was happening in your life.
Yeah, so I had been drinking for like 10 years, and after that happened, His spirit was like overflowing out of me, and it was so much that it was like I had to get around other people and tell them and for it to pour into empty vessels, because it was like I felt like I was, this is not the good way to say it, but I felt like I was gonna die if I like didn't, like my body couldn't handle the overflow of like the whole like holiness of Him, even though I just got this. I mean, the encounter I had was pretty long, but it was just like a tiny glimpse of like the whole, you know, holiness of God. And I was like, I couldn't literally handle it. And so I was just telling everybody, and I just knew like, I don't drink anymore. Like I didn't want to put alcohol in my body because it was replaced with like the Holy Spirit. And I just had no desire to even drink, and it was just instantly gone. And I went to the leader of the group that I was in, and I tried to tell them that I had a God experience, and they were not happy about it. And I left all my life of sin, pretty much everything I was doing, and I completely started over. And after I came here for spiritual counseling and you invited us to church, my son Braxton, he had accepted Jesus at first when I first started talking about Him. But when you guys prayed for him and laid hands on him, the next day he started talking about God, and it was like out of nowhere. And it was just like all those months of us meeting and having the biblical counseling, and he was sitting there listening and rejecting the whole thing. It was actually planting seeds, and then one day his faith just like sprouted, and now he loves God so much. And and we got baptized, and after I was baptized, I was completely free from I had been abusing prescriptions even a few months after my encounter, and I was wrestling with it every day, and I was crying all the time. And I remember you guys did a baptism, and I didn't want to come to it because I was ashamed, because I was still struggling with that, and I didn't know if it was wrong for me to be baptized until I overcame that. And then you guys called me the next day and said, do you want us to just baptize you guys with the water that's left? And I was baptized, and after that, there was 3 days where I was withdrawing and repenting from abusing prescriptions, and then like on the third day somehow it just was instantly gone. It was just taken from me, and I've never done it since, and I don't even have the desire or the thought to do it. It was just like replaced with like the self-control from God, that, you know, God is greater. And also, my son has been medically cleared from autism, and when people meet him, They don't even know that he was diagnosed with autism. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Is there anything else you want to share?
My mind's drawing a blank. I don't know.
Okay, well, we are at the end of what we had discussed and to share today. But we are so thankful for what God has done in Stephanie. Is that amazing? We serve an amazing God. There is no situation too difficult for our God. And so we thank him. Let's just pray over Stephanie today. It takes a lot to get up and to share. And so we just thank the Lord for Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in her. Lord, bless her and her sons and her family. And Lord, the heart that you've given her to spread the good news of your love and your saving power. Lord, we just thank you that you continue to feed that. You continue to cause her, Lord, to run after you, Lord. And Father, I thank you. You supply all of her needs according to your riches and glory. And I'm just a witness of what God has done for Stephanie in her life to supply her needs. And we just thank you, Lord, that you know those that are fatherless. And Lord, as Stephanie has lived a fatherless life, Lord, we thank you that Father God has come in to watch over her and her children. We thank you, Father, for all you have done. Bless her, encourage her, and continue to renew her mind in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another praise. Are you done? You feel like you're done? Okay. We're going to release you, and Stephanie is going to go back to her seat. And I did want to give an opportunity for everyone to pray this salvation prayer. If you have never accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. And for each one of us, let's pray it today to renew our commitment to the Lord. So let's read it together. Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. You said in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I make the decision today to surrender every area of my life to the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart, take out the stony heart, and put in a heart of flesh. I turn my back on the world and on sin. I repent and I put my trust in you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I would like to thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and shedding your blood for me so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Thank you that you rose from the dead and that one day you are coming back for me. I confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and that he is my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. I accept by faith the free gift of salvation. Amen. So be it. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask you if you will all stand. We're going to, at this time, receive communion. And so if the elders will come forward and get ready for communion, and Jeff's up here, he can play us some music, and if you can start when we're ready. As I heard Stephanie's testimony for the first time, I thought, you know, the Lord said, he is not willing that any should perish. Isn't it amazing? He will go to such lengths to draw you to him. So let's come forward and receive our communion elements. You can take them back to your seat and we'll receive them together. This is a special time here at River of Life as we receive communion together as the body of Christ. And communion is a command. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, the scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So the command to partake of the Lord's Supper is as important as any of the Ten Commandments. Communion isn't optional, but it is eating and drinking at the Lord's table. So the table is more important than us eating and drinking naturally. And so today we receive from the Lord's table. Let's take of the bread. Communion is a commemoration. The next scripture says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's receive of the cup. Father, we thank you that this represents the victory that you won for us upon the cross. Thank you for giving your life. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for making a way for us. Thank you for giving us a new identity. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us into your family. Today we stand as one, as the body of Christ, rejoicing in the finished work of the cross and everything that appropriates for us in our lives. In Jesus' name, and the church said,